Aaron, new and fresh ideas that you would bring to the assembly.
Okay. New and fresh idea that I would probably bring to the assembly is something, I mentioned it before to you, Ed, would be a sawmill to manufacture lumber here in Sitka using Sitka trees. You could use that lumber. You could probably sell it cheap and use it to build affordable housing. Another new and fresh idea would be adding a dock out at Salmo Cove Industrial Park for the fishing fleet that could be coming in for a major boat haul out.
All right. Stephen, thanks, Aaron. Stephen Eisenbeiss, new and fresh ideas that you would bring to the assembly. This is a question from Blake on Facebook.
One new and fresh idea that I've heard around town and is actually pretty rapidly gaining steam around the entire country is about the fluoride that we have in our water here. When it was started to be put in the water, many people believe that it just helped your teeth and that was all. New studies that are coming out actually show that it is a poison to your body. And there are studies other ways that say no. But I know several towns in the lower 48 have actually banned the use of fluoride. Fluoride's hard to remove with normal filters. The filters that you have to buy actually cost a significant amount of money. Plus, the city pays a substantial amount of money every year to add fluoride. So I'd like to see if there's community support behind removing fluoride.
All right. We have a question by email from Ron for you, Stephen. It's a quick and easy one. He wants to know if your last name has to be spelled correctly on the write-in form in order for the vote to count.
Fortunately, from what I have been told and as I understand the statute, it does not have to be spelled correctly. What has to happen is you have to fill in the bubble, and there has to be the intent there. So if you put Stephen Eisenhower, Eisen this, Eisen something, the vote is still going to count, that the intent will be there. However, if you fill in the bubble and put Stephen Mickey Mouse, that's not going to count. Another thing that will assist me and anyone else in that is at the polling stations, I've been told that there will be a list available of write-in candidates. You have to ask for this list before you go vote. It will not be in the booth, but that will be available for people who have questions on how to spell my name.
Fair enough. And if you do have questions about voting, you can always check with the municipal clerk's office. They answer those questions on a regular basis, and they run the elections. The next question, well, let me give some participation info before I go on to the next question. You are, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to a live candidate forum here on Raven Radio. The three gentlemen in the studio, Stephen Eisenbeiss, Ben Maiasato, and Aaron Swanson, are running for Sitka Assembly, asking for your vote on October 1st. Two of them will make it to the horseshoe, and that election is coming up. So we're hoping that you will join this conversation. If you have a question for any of these folks, the number is 747-5877. You can also email it to us at news@kcaw.org. And you can also participate on Facebook, facebook.com/Raven Radio. Aaron Swanson, it's your turn to begin on this round robin here. And we had been talking earlier tonight about affordable housing. And it's a big issue here in Sitka. How does Sitka retain residents when the cost of living keeps going up?
Well, Sitka is, it's a great place to live. That's probably the biggest thing that's keeping people here in town, even though the cost of living continues to go up. I do see quite a few people leaving town. But, myself personally, I love it here. I want to see my family continue to stay here. So if the cost of living is going up, then people are probably making changes to their basic lifestyles so they can continue to stay where they want to stay.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. Stephen Eisenbeiss, how do we retain residents when the cost of living keeps going up?
One thing that's going to help us maintain residents here in town is by having an outstanding school system. If our school system starts to falter, parents are going to start looking somewhere else for their kids. Kids are their number one priority at that time, and if they can't get what they need here, they're going to look somewhere else. Another thing that's going to keep people here in town is our recreation opportunities, such as Sitka Trail Works and all the work that they do on local trails around here. That is quite a gift that we have, and that trail system actually brings people into town just to go explore. And I know it does keep people here. And finally, you just have to love our community. I know most people live here because they love this place and don't want to live anywhere else. And I think it's that love for this community that's going to persevere and hopefully keep a lot of residents here.
All right. We have a caller, and we're going to get to that in just a second, but let's finish out this question. How do we retain residents, Ben, if the cost of living keeps going up?
That's a very good question, and this is something that has been mentioned by Aaron, and also I've had several people come up to me say that they wish they could vote for me on October 1st, but they're actually going to be leaving town before the election because of the high cost of living here in Sitka. And I've asked them, what exactly was it that led to that? Well, they said the jobs need to be paying more. They need to have the housing prices are just too high for them to pay for what's out there, and also the utility rates. And this is something that we need to look at on reasons, all those reasons. This is something that we need to do more looking into as to why the jobs that are out there aren't paying enough, why the housing that's out there is just too expensive, and also the utility rate. We already know that that's something that's we hear it from the assembly. They say that need to get it more in line to what other communities are paying, that and that some of these are adjustments, but also I think partially that does get attributed to the upgrade that's being done out at Blue Lake, the dam project. So I think this is something that if we look at all of those issues, we really need to find out how we can keep our residents. If you change one, maybe that will keep them here for the others. But I think this really does need to be addressed.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Let's go to the phones, and we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Stephen, this is Granny Goose.
Hello, Granny.
Hello, Granny.
How are you doing?
Hi. I just got in tonight, and I wanted to say hi to you.
I know. I can't wait to get done and come see you.
And for on the getting done. And there's tacos here for you.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So my question was, did you have any ideas or thoughts about the tourism hear what you were going to do for them?
All right. Tourism. Great question, Granny. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
All right. And we'll let Stephen start that answer. Go ahead, Stephen.
Tourism is definitely important to this town. It does bring in quite a lot of money. One thing we need to continue doing well is funding our visitors bureaus. They are the attracting people who bring others into this town. Without that, we don't have anything. We need to look at how we can market ourselves better to not only cruise lines, but the independent traveler. I know personally when I get on the airplane, you'll flip through the magazines that they give you there, and you see a lot of ads for other places, but you don't frequently see Sitka. It's the same if you open up Alaska magazine. You'll see advertisements for towns all over, and many times Sitka's lacking. So in order to attract more tourism, I think we should look into how we better advertise ourselves. As well, we need to start telling our story better. Sitka is one of the most historical towns here in Alaska, and we don't tell that story adequately. Juneau has a much more limited history, although they did have a lot of gold mining, and they tell their story a lot better, which attracts more people to them to see this gold mining. There's things that happen here in Sitka that is completely unique to the location. We need to get that out there for the visitors so that they can come experience that.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. Ben, what can we do for tourism?
Tourism, Well, that's a very good question, and I like the idea that it was asked by somebody's granny who made him tacos and didn't offer to the other candidates. Thanks, granny. No, I'm kidding.
We'll shelve our jealousy for just a moment.
Yeah, yeah. Especially those who didn't eat. But, the one thing I like about the tourism, this is something that you're looking at the cruise ship industry, you know, without a deep water dock. You know, there is one that is out there on Halibut Point Road, but, you know, that's to be seen how that's going to affect the number of actual passengers that get off the cruise ships and get on land to either shop or sightsee here in town. But the idea of tourism, I think this is something that, and I know this is something to think about, for food for thought, is start marketing those countries that weren't too greatly affected by the downturn, the economic downturn in 2008. And I'm saying this because China, their middle class is one of the fastest growing on this planet. And when you get more over there in their population that are having expendable dollars or yen or won or whatever their currency is, this is something to look at as to whether or not we should be looking into expanding marketing for tourism dollars or tourism funding to come here to Alaska. And you also got to look at there is another country down in South America that was not affected. Is this something that maybe they should look at also seeing if there's some countries down there? I think there's one that was not affected was Brazil, and it's actually growing.
By the economic downturn.
Yeah. Is this something that – is there any marketing going on in any of Alaska's communities or any convention bureaus to see if they're marketing to them? Are they open to the idea of sending some of their citizens up to Alaska to explore Alaska for the first time? And also, this is something that I had witnessed personally last year, and I'm not going to say at which bay because this is I just don't want to expand where they're at. But there was a south of Sitka, we saw like a 40-50 foot long boat where somebody had chartered the boat for an entire month, and they must have had like 6 to 8 kayaks on board, and they were spending that whole month just exploring throughout the island of Baranof. They'd get to into a nice protected cove, and then they'd spend the day out on a kayak. Is this something that we would like to think about for future, is that to market on the tourist side those that are willing to spend up to a month on smaller boats and on kayaks so that they get more time to see what Southeast Alaska has to offer in terms of what they can see and view?
All right. Thanks, Ben. Aaron, what kinds of things can the Assembly do and can you do on the Assembly for tourism?
Okay, this is something that I mentioned last year. I'm going to say it again this year. Is basically invite the cruise ship line, head of the cruise ship lines, and probably add like tour agents, travel agents. Have them all come up to Sitka. Have the Assembly and the Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau get a work session going. Find out what we can do here in Sitka to help promote more cruise ships coming to Sitka as opposed to going to the other towns and just bypassing Sitka. That I think would be a big help. Also, like Stephen said, more advertising. I think that is probably the key, which, you know, you're going to have to get into more funding for the Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau so they can reach out to more areas to advertise.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. You're listening to a live call-in forum with the candidates for Sitka Assembly on Raven Radio, KCAW. 747-5877 is our phone number, 747-5877. You can email questions, news@kcaw.org, and you can find us on Facebook. We've got folks monitoring that and sending the questions into the air room here, and that is where our next question comes from, actually. Ben, we're going to begin this one with you. Joanna on Facebook wants to know, what lasting solutions would you suggest to increase food security and decrease homelessness in Sitka. So Joanna on Facebook wants to know what you would do, lasting solutions to increase food security and decrease homelessness in Sitka. We'll begin with Ben.
Lasting solution. Now, when I'm looking at that question, part of me is thinking in terms of food security, in terms of like if there was a natural disaster, an example, earthquake or tsunami. One thing that has been mentioned is that our grocery stores, our food where people shop, is all located practically at a sea level. And this is something that, well, if that's the case, do we have anywhere here in Sitka where food items can be stored in case of emergency? That's a very good question. This is something that we at Sitka Tribe of Alaska are looking into that, and we will ask that question, is there preparedness for that? And in regards to homelessness, I think that maybe one of the things I'm looking at, and I'm thinking this from being a tribal veteran representative, which is called a TVR, when you talk about homelessness, the first question I always ask, are they a veteran? And if they are, that opens up a lot of benefits that they're available to reach out to. And the one thing it will do if they are homeless is that will bump them up in regards to service and put them at the front of the line and try to make it so that they're taken care of. But in regards to the homelessness, do we have a shelter here in town for that? And where would this be located? That's a very good question.
All right. Lots of questions from Ben. Aaron, what would you do? What lasting solutions do you have for the problems of to increase food security and decrease homelessness in Sitka?
Okay. I've been thinking about the food security for a while. I think that the city should probably invest in putting like a some kind of structure up around Kimsham Ball Fields and to basically have – you know, enough food to last longer than what the grocery stores would have. I think the grocery stores have basically 10 days worth of food if there was a natural disaster. And the barge is going to take, you know, at least a week or two just to get up here with any fresh supplies. So it's going to be, you know, stretching it pretty thin. I also think that at this same kind of shelter bunker, there should be, you know, like a generator and utensils that you can actually cook. Most of the food that should be there should probably be canned food so it doesn't spoil. As far as a homeless, I know that the Easter Group or the Braveheart Volunteers, one of those two, was looking at getting grant funding to build a homeless shelter, and I think that the city assembly should support their goal of reaching to put a homeless shelter here in Sitka.
All right. Aaron Swanson, thank you. Joanna on Facebook asks Stephen Eisenbeiss, lastly here, what lasting solutions would you suggest to increase food security and decrease homelessness in Sitka?
Food security is definitely a tough problem here in Sitka. Something as simple as a fuel shortage could put us out of food for many, many days due to how isolated we are here. And it's also tough because of how heavily society relies on the refrigerators anymore. We've lost the ability to hunt and gather as we used to. Many people don't even know how to cure meat without a refrigerator. So going back to that is possibly a way that someone could be more self-sufficient in securing food. I also do believe that food security is a problem that needs to be handled largely by the citizens, that you cannot rely on the government for it. After the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina is a perfect example. Many citizens were not adequately prepared, and they suffered for many, many, many days until the government could get a good response in there. I feel that in order to have food security as a community, everybody in the community needs to have their own food security. And that way we as a whole, when disaster strikes, can band together and have enough food for everyone. Homelessness is a very interesting question. I have not been approached by anyone on the issue. Coming from an employee of the police department, I know the police department's perspective on it. But I don't see any other sides of the story yet. It isn't really talked about in Sitka. It tends to be something that is shoved off and pushed away in the corner. But yeah, if there's community support for whatever, let's start a dialogue. Let's talk about it.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. You are listening to a live election forum on Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. The three candidates for Sitka Assembly are in our studio right now. This next question is going to be, well, actually, we have a caller, so let's go to the caller. You are on the air. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm really glad that you are doing this so that we can hear the voice, that process, and compassion that our local candidates have for a seat on the City Assembly. But that said, I would like to make a comment and question.
Sure, and you're breaking up just a little bit. I'm not sure if you're on a mobile phone, but if you can get to
is
a place...
better?
Oh, that's much better. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Okay, Ben, I like the idea of having a port of call across Baranoff Islands. I think it would be a great idea for Sitka, and maybe we can start with Stephen and Aaron and then finish with Ben. If you could respond to this, would you take the time to seek out advice from our local Tlingit elders in proceeding with the road across Baranoff Island? And if you did so, is there any Tlingit elders that you know personally or that you would find as that you would be able to spend the time with to make sure that this is something that could be done with the most respect for the indigenous people of this island and the clan from here? Thank you.
Thank you. And I didn't quite get your name. I'm sorry. Oh, it's Paulette. Okay. Thanks, Paulette. And actually, this question, let's begin with Aaron for this question. Go ahead.
Okay, Paulette. I don't really know any of the Native elders too much to ask a specific one what they think would be best served for this. I would definitely seek the advice of the Tlingit elders to, you know, if you were putting in a road and it was going to be city funded, I would definitely seek their advice. The reason being is because I would not want to step on anybody's toes and, you know, go through a sacred area to somebody that's in the Native community that, you know, they know about and I don't. And for some reason I decided to put a road right through it. I'd be pretty upset. So yes, I would definitely seek the advice.
All right. Stephen Eisenbeiss, same question to you. Would you seek the advice of Native elders before building a road across the island?
Not only would I seek the advice of Native elders, but I'd seek the advice of everyone who might know the history of the land here. Although the Native people do have quite a much longer history, there's other groups of people who have been here for a substantial amount of time, too, that may have some sort of claim to the land there. Maybe relatives of theirs are buried there, and we don't know that. You know, you definitely have to consider all the needs of someone if you're going to run a road through there. You know, you can't just say, well, this is going to benefit a group of people, so we're going to do it anyway.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Ben, thoughts on consulting Native elders before building a road across the island?
Absolutely. This is something I would do right from the get-go. And the reason being is that, as mentioned by Steve, the Natives have been here a lot longer. And in fact, their history here has been proven to be for thousands of years. And with that being said, anytime you have development, you need to see if there is going to be any areas that are going to be culturally sensitive. Being a little bit more privy to this question, because I serve on the Transportation Committee at Sitka Tribe of Alaska, I've seen the three proposed road systems that are being looked at to be built across Baranoff Island in regards for a marine highway system dock. There's two roads proposed, and this is one of those where you look at it in terms of one's 42 miles and the other one's around 38 miles, and those would be based north, heading north from Halibut Point Road off the Halibut Point Road system. Those roads would be longer, but also they would cross more culturally sensitive land that the Tlingits were consulted on and said, we are opposed to these two because of how they would cross areas that the Tlingits were had used in past and do have a history there. The one road that there is not a whole lot of opposition in regards to whether or not this is going to be culturally sensitive is the shorter of the three roads that are proposed. And this is the one that's the 18-mile road that would begin off the existing roadway system that goes out to Green Lake. So it would cut off easterly to the other side of Baranoff. And that one there does not have very many, if any at all, cultural sites. And this is something that was actually, the questions about each road system were asked, will these affect your culturally sensitive sites? But at the same time, I do like the answer that Steve gave in regards, ask everyone. Make sure that what you put in is not going to affect everyone.
All right. Thank you, Ben. And thank you, Paulette, for that question. We really appreciate it. 747-5877 if you want to ask a question of your own. Our next question begins with Steven Eisenbeiss. It's an email question that came in from Grace. And Grace wants to know, what do you believe is the role of city government in funding nonprofits that help to keep our community safe? We're talking specifically here about nonprofit organizations that have kind of social functions in town, social service functions. Steven Eisenbeiss will begin this question for us.
I'm glad that the city currently does what they can to help nonprofits. Just because a business is classified as a nonprofit doesn't mean what they bring to the community is not important. I would actually hate to see this community without the help of nonprofits in this town. So it doesn't matter to me what group you are. I would like to see the city continuing to fund them at a level that's maintainable. I don't know what that level is going to be. We'll have to look at future budgets. But for instance, this year, almost $100,000 was given out to these groups. And most everybody who asked for money got the money that they were asking for. I'd also encourage other groups who think that they might need some money, some matching money for grants, for example, to come forward and see how we can all work together in order to grow Sitka.
Thanks, Stephen. Ben, thoughts on the role of city government in funding nonprofits, especially those that help keep our community safe?
this is something that I get commented in regards to the nonprofits. They do a great benefit to Sitka, and as mentioned by Steve, if the city government were to take these functions, it would cost a lot more to the city government to be doing all of those functions, and having them does keep the cost of city government down. But at the same time, when you're looking at funding them, you also have to look at, is this something that the city of Sitka can sustain? When you're asking for funding, you have to keep in mind that the funding from the city or from any other grant or state, federal, those levels, they have to be sustainable. They have to be something in times of bad economic times, will you be able to function with less? And that's something that we have been told by our funding source at STA that 2014 will be a tougher year and to prepare for it. And this is something that those nonprofits have to think of also, is that if not that we want to be Scrooge or play the part of we're not going to loose the purse strings, but what can you give in times when it's going to be economically harder to give those funds that they're used to in the past. And that's where you have to look at what are your other funding sources to do that provide the services that you already are doing at this time.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Aaron, thoughts on the role of city government in funding nonprofits that help to keep our community safe?
If the money is there, I believe that the city should give grants out to nonprofits that apply, and especially public safety, the ones that are really going to benefit the community, like Sycophant Arts Camp. That's not really social service nonprofit, but I believe it's it's a good nonprofit. Any nonprofit that needs assistance from the city, I like that they have to tell the city what they're going to be using these funds for. If it's just something for just something that does not apply to helping anybody in Sitka, then I don't approve of it. But if the money is there, then yes, I think the city should definitely continue funding grants to the nonprofits for public safety and community development, and anything that's going to give a boost to the community, I think is a good plus.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. This next question comes from Facebook, and we're going to begin with Ben for the answer. Tanya on Facebook wants to know, we often hear the importance of bringing outside dollars into Sitka. Where does the greatest potential for bringing new money into Sitka lie? And how will you as an assembly member support growth in that sector? Let's begin with Ben. Outside dollars.
Outside dollars. And this is a very good one because, as mentioned earlier in our program and also over at the chamber luncheon yesterday, we have already good examples. You've got the Southeast Conference that was here that brought in over $200,000 to our city. That's a really good conference. That I know this one's a rotating one, but you also have the ATIA that's going to bring in $500,000 of outside money. And this is something that's a substantial amount. And this is something where you have the hotels, you have the restaurants, you have the businesses that are going to be seeing money that might have been there, might not have been. And I say this because of the tour ships that canceled some of their last trips here, and that was mentioned in the newspaper. This is a hit to the local businesses. Now, the idea of bringing them in, I like the idea. If you have a festival or something that does bring in new dollars into our town, I think the city should get behind that. And part of that is that some of it takes time, and I'm saying this because I know they've got like the King Crab Festival over in Kodiak. I'm sure at first that was something that maybe the city of Kodiak didn't think was something they would want to fund, but it's been established and it's been in existence for numerous years. And we have the seafood festival that's not brand new, it's on its second year. Maybe we can help that seafood festival in its marketing, whether the city can give a few dollars so that they can market it to other communities in Southeast or even in the Northwest. And the one thing that Sitka Tribe of Alaska is looking into is starting a herring festival. I mean, we do have a resource here that comes every spring, and hopefully will continue to do so as long as it's managed properly. And if you have a herring festival that goes along with it, make it a community event. Add things such as a 10K race, a swim, a carnival-type atmosphere, a basketball tournament, things that you can tie into it so that you get more of the community. Don't just have it focused on one. And that's the one thing I'm looking at when you bring festivals or events such as Southeast Conference or ATIA. How can you make it so that more of the community gets the tie-in so that the people coming in bringing brand new dollars will want to come back to Sitka?
All right. Thank you, Ben. Aaron, Tanya wants to know, with outside dollars, where's the greatest potential for the new money, and how do we get it?
Well, the greatest potential is with the conventions. You have, like Ben mentioned, the ATIA and all these other conventions that have been coming to town this year, bringing in countless, you know, dollars that they're spending in the hotels, the restaurants, and the, you know, local stores. Another way that I think that, you know, we could target outside dollars is a city partnership with Search and, you know, sitting down with them and asking them what we can do as a city to help Search, who has suffered from some sequestration cuts. I know that Search will bring in patients from out of town in the rural villages. Now, those people will come here, and sometimes they'll be bringing their families with them that are going to have a place to stay. They're going to have to eat as well. So those are, you know, two different options right there that will help bring some outside dollars into SICA.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. And Stephen Eisenbeiss, outside dollars, how do we bring them in? And where are they and how do we bring them in?
Where are they and how do we bring them in? The question that will plague us, that'll plague the next generation of assembly members and the following and the following and the following. That's always something that no matter who you are, you're looking for. If you're a business owner, you want to figure out how those new dollars are coming in. If you have a job employed with someone, you want to figure out how you can get that next raise. So you're always looking for more there. In order to bring in new, fresh outside dollars, what I want to do is listen to the groups in town who either are volunteer or paid to go look for new ideas. There's many groups like that, and we need to take into consideration what they're telling us. They spend a lot of time looking at new ways to bring in this money. So, you know, let's hear what they have to say. Let's listen to them. That's what they're there for.
Ben, you thanks, Stephen. Ben, you raised your hand there for a second. A real quick follow-up, if you have one.
I do have a quick follow-up, and this is something I wanted to make sure that I have mentioned because I'm wearing an OIF hat. I'm wearing a TVR vest, one that's already existing, and this is something that the regional, one of the big Western regional directors of the Veterans Administration had mentioned, and this is something I found out last December when I went through the training, is that here in Sitka we have 1,100 veterans that have served in all branches of the military that are here in Sitka. And the one thing that he had mentioned from the 2010 census, those 1,100 veterans, of those that are signed up, they bring in $4 million to Sitka through health benefits, education benefits, and disability benefits. Now, with that being said, nationally, only 30% of veterans sign up. And here in Alaska, you've got 77,000 veterans. Now, with that being said, with Sitka's 1,100 veterans, that's over 12% of our population. If we can get more of them signed up for different benefits through the VA, that's just going to add more dollars. And plus, this is something I've discussed with Steve, and I say this because he's a fellow combat veteran as me, and he served in the Marine Corps. But this is something they're already eligible for these benefits, and this is something that you don't have to pre-qualify. If you've served, you've got 1,100 here in town, and if we can get more outreach on that, it'll just add more dollars into our community.
All right. Thanks, Ben. And I gave Ben the chance to follow up on that. Does anybody else have anything they want to add on outside dollars? I see shrugs, so we will move on real quickly. We're running down to the end of our time together here, and I want to give everybody an opportunity for one more go-around, and we're going to begin, since we started with Stephen for the first question, we're going to begin with Aaron and go back. This is a 10-word challenge here. I'm going to change the question a little bit, but a listener posted an email to us asking for 10 words or less. No, I'm going to stick with what he wanted here. 10 words or less. What is most in need of fixing? What is least in need of fixing in Sitka? Aaron Swanson, let's start with you. It's the good and the bad question is what he wants to know. As succinctly as you can.
Okay, I'm going to start out with the most in need. Economy. Mm-hmm. And the least in need.
It's the 10-word challenge.
Okay. Probably the least in need of fixing in Sitka would probably be Centennial Building parking lot.
Fair enough. All right. So the economy and the Centennial Building parking lot, the most in need and the least in need. Ben, most in need of fixing, least in need of fixing, in as few words as possible.
Housing.
Housing the most. Okay. The least?
Fishing.
Great. And Stephen?
Well, let's see. I do have 10 fingers, so I can count count up that high anyway.
All right.
The most in need of fixing is community involvement with everything that goes on. The least in need of fixing would be, you know, and this is going to be more than 10 words, but I don't think there is a least, because something is the number one priority to someone in town. So you can't quantify something as the least important, because in someone else's book, it is number one. It is their highest priority.
All right. Thank you very much. That'll do it for us. I want to thank the three candidates for coming in to talk with us tonight. Stephen Eisenbeiss, Ben Maiasato, and Aaron Swanson. October 1st is Election Day, and thank you all for your calls and posts tonight. Thanks also to KCAW's Robert Woolsey and to our postgraduate fellow Emily Foreman for handling all the behind-the-scenes chores this evening. Coming up next on Raven Radio, we have BBC Headlines at 8:01, followed by Night Jazz. Ben, you're raising your hand. What's
just remember to vote on October 1st.
Agreed. Anybody else, remember to vote. I think that's a pretty commonly held sentiment. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to end with a comment on Facebook from Tom. He appreciates these guys for being willing to lead. He can tell their readers and that they have studied the issues. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.